And Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your commitment to us. We thank you for being a kind Father. We thank you that you are forever committed to us. Thank you for NICOS 2024. Thank you for all the speakers that have spoken so far and all the sessions that have been held so far. And thank you for what will take place tonight and in the days to come. Thank you because a generation is about to be unleashed. A generation that is going to walk in the fullness of what you have for us, even in this era. We give you praise and glory, for in the name of Jesus we pray. Now, if you know that you know that after this conference, you would have moved to a whole new level, I want you to respond with a shout. You may be seated. I want to start by honoring the angels of the house in the person of Pastor Emmanuel and Pastor Tope Adewale. It's a joy to be with every one of you tonight. All the leadership, I celebrate you. All the pastors, the associate pastors, the deacons, it's a joy to be with you. And tonight, I'm just going to contribute my little portion. And I believe the next speaker will take it to a whole new level. And it's going to go up and up. You know, the amazing thing about our covenant with God is it can only get better. The Bible says the paths of the righteous like a shining path. So by covenant, we are not allowed to have a better yesterday. Are you listening to me? By covenant, you are not allowed to have a better last year. So covenant demands that you must progress. And one thing I need you to understand about God is God does not want you to settle. He wants you to go all the way to the very height He destined for you. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And God blessed man and said, first phase is to be fruitful." What does it mean to be fruitful? It means to bear, to bear forth, to produce. But he went further. Is a multiply. To multiply means to increase number or to make plenty. But it didn't stop there. It's a replenish, which literally means is a fill up the capacity. Are you listening to me? Fill up what? The capacity. Then it went further. Is a subdue. Subdue means to conquer. It involves the use of force in conquering. And at the end of it, he said, have dominion. To have dominion means to rule. Maybe you have experienced God to a large extent. You've seen some increase, you know. You are so excited. God says, until you begin to dominate your space, you have not fulfilled my will for your life. My intent, my purpose, my agenda for you, it's not just to just exist and, you know, produce some more and, you know, and increase. It's like, go all the way until you have dominion. Somebody shout, have dominion. Have dominion. Oh, come on, shout it like you believe it. Say, have dominion. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, if by one man's offense, death reigned through one. Is there much more they which receive? You know, the word receive there is actually a present participle, which literally means is something that you keep on doing. I tell people all the time, in the kingdom, we are receivers. We are actually receivers. If at all we look like achievers, it's because we have mastered the art of receiving. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. So they were disqualified because they did not know how to receive. And Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, he said, we receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Then as a result of that, we rule in life. Somebody shout, I rule. I rule. Come on, can you shout one more time? Say, I rule. I rule. Come on, shout one more time. Say, I rule. Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You know the amazing thing? That word life in the original Greek was not just talking about natural life. It's actually the Greek word zoe. We reign with the God kind of life. We reign with such capacity which is beyond the natural. We reign with supernatural life. Somebody say, I reign with supernatural life. Come on, shout one more time. Say, I reign with supernatural life. The theme for this conference is as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Literally talking about heaven standard. Heaven standard. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And one of the things he taught them is that pray this way. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God intends that the standard of heaven should be replicated on earth. Literally saying there is a possibility to have heaven on earth. Is somebody listening to me? I said there is a possibility to have what? Heaven on earth. Somebody shout heaven on earth. You know, have you thought of it? Why is it that everything works in heaven? Why is it that nothing breaks down in heaven? Why is it that there's no chaos in heaven? Why is it that you will never hear that an angel fell sick? Or the economy of heaven is down? Everything runs in heaven because there's a system that makes things to work. And God is saying it's possible to have this system on earth. You know, I just came back from a mission trip to Nigeria. And if there's anything that God was repeatedly sounding to my ears, is the fact that covenant is bigger than geography. Are you listening to me? I said covenant is what? Bigger than what? Geography. Can we say it together? Say covenant is bigger than geography. In Genesis chapter 45 and verse 10, to be precise, we see right there how Joseph insisted that his brothers should be placed in a region which is actually in the northern part of Egypt called Goshen. And the word Goshen there is literally a Hebrew word which means draw near. He said, I don't want you far from me. I want you near me. He said, in Goshen, you will live. In Goshen, your children will be taken care of. In Goshen, your children's children will be taken care of. Your flocks, your herds, and all that is connected to you. And if you're a student of the Bible, you will realize that when judgment came upon Egypt and everything was shutting down in Egypt, there was an exemption over Goshen. Literally speaking, geographically speaking, whatever touches Egypt should include Goshen. But because Goshen is a covenant place, the darkness of Egypt, the swarms of flies of Egypt, the hails and all the messes that came upon Egypt as a result of the judgment that came upon them did not touch Goshen. But according to geography, Goshen is inside Egypt. And yet, there was a different experience. Literally, there was a supernatural insulation that ensured that there was a unique manifestation, expression, and quality of life that Goshen enjoyed. And I've come to tell you tonight that, literally speaking, a believer in Christ Jesus, in spite of the geography, can have the best of life. Are you listening to me? So literally speaking, you can bring heaven to your space and live such a quality life that does not make sense. I love the scripture that says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders. I need you to shout, I'm for signs and wonders. Come on, shout it like you believe it. Say, I'm for signs and wonders. In other words, your experience should be unique. It should be distinct. There should be something about your life that separates you from the rest of the people. And tonight, I want to share with you from the Word of God how you can have such life in the midst of the darkness that we're in. The Lord spoke to me shortly after the pandemic, you know, COVID pandemic, that was 4 years ago. He said, we have literally moved from darkness to gross darkness. You know, Isaiah chapter 60 says, he said, darkness shall cover the heart and gross what? Darkness. In other words, we are not just in darkness, we're in gross darkness, talking about what has come upon the whole heart. But he said, the glory of the Lord will what? Rise up. He said, God will rise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon your life in the midst of the gross darkness. So it does not matter. In fact, gross darkness presents a better opportunity for you to be noticed because you are built to glow. Are you listening to me? Somebody shout, I'm built to glow. I love John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love the verse that says, in him was life. 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 And you are thinking, what kind of life? Because it says, this life was the light of men. And it says, the light shineth, darkness comprehended not. In him was life. In him was life. And the light shineth, and darkness could not suppress it. Are you following me? So, now, let's go to, I want us to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse. Let's start reading from verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, this, that which was from the beginning, which we've had, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, verse 2 says, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So verse 1, he was talking about that which we have handled, that which we have experienced. And he ended up by saying, concerning the word of life. You know, this life I'm talking about is not just a regular life. It's not just a natural life. You know, talking about natural life, there are different levels. There's microbial life, there's plant life, there's animal life, and there's a natural human life. But this life here is actually translated the God kind of life. Life at the highest level. The purest form of life. Quality life. Literally, what makes God to be God? Are you listening to me? You know, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 26, it says, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. So literally, the divinity shares this life. This life runs heaven. This life makes things to happen. And I love the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, that same spirit will quicken your mortal flesh. Do you know the word quicken there is actually a derivative of Zoe? There's a release of God kind of life which makes immortality to swallow mortality. That is how quality this life is. And you know, if you go to 1 John, can you go to 1 John chapter 5? I want to show you some things there. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 7 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And it says, these three are one. Now, if you go to verse 11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. God has given us eternal life. The God kind of life is something that, you know, a new creation in Christ Jesus possesses now. He has given us. He's not going to give us. You know, religion is terrible. Say, oh, I'm going to have life. You don't get this life after death. If you don't have it now, you can't have it after death. I love what verse 12 says. Please follow me. It says, he who has the Son has life. The Son there referring to Jesus. And it says, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I need you to lift up your two hands and shout, I have life. Come on, shout it one more time. Say, I have life. You know, the problem with us is that we view humanity from the, you know, the surface, the body. Maybe some of us go a little bit deeper. We view humanity from the intellectual point of view. But listen, man is primarily a spirit. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, when God told Adam and Eve that if they partook of, you know, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said they would die. You will notice that they were still walking around and functioning even after they have eaten the fruit. But really, they died. Because man is essentially a spirit. He was severed from God. Death became his nature. And here the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. So when you got born again, it was not just a religious experience. There was an infusion of the life of God into your spirit. And the plan and purpose of God is that that life should drive every part of your being. That life should be infused into your body. It should reflect on your mind. You know, interesting, I have one of my son who came with me, who actually brought me here. You know, he shared an experience he had when he got admission in Nigeria several years ago into university. You know, he got carried away and, you know, he failed so much. That after this, by second year, he was rusticated. It was that bad. So, thank God for godly mothers who believed in him. Because as far as some uncles and the father were concerned, he should go and learn a trade. But the mother said, no, this one will go to school. So the mother paid the fee to get him back to school. And he said something. He said, as the mom was driving him to school, he stopped by in a bookstore and bought a white Bible. And he gave it to him. Don't disgrace me. So he said he got to school, and for the first 1 month, he said, we just sit in his room and read the Bible over and over and over and over. He said, all of a sudden, it's like something was changing inside of him. And you know, when he was sharing the experience, he took me back to a book written by Kenneth Hagin that I read several years ago, talking about how this life can impact your intellectual capacity. To cut the long story short, he graduated with first class. Not only that, he left school 2008 up till now. His record has not been beaten in that faculty. The same person that was kicked out, from his school, now went back. But this time, he devoted himself to the word of God. There was a renewal of mind. There was an it made so much impact on his intellectual capacity. He said something. He said that it was like my mind just opened up. You know, and that's why I hate religion. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In him was life. God's Word carries life, quality life. I'm not talking about, oh, when you get to heaven, you're going to have it. You already have it. Are you listening to me? I said you already have it. But there's a consciousness. I want to show you something. There's a lot I want to say tonight. God help me. Everybody open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12. It says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not what? Have life. Literally saying, the only way to this life is the Son. The only way to this life is the Son. You know, in Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, when Jesus made this powerful statement, we'll come back to 1 John 5, but I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 7 verse 3. Is somebody with me tonight? Matthew 7 verse 14. I need to show you something very powerful. He says, because narrow is the gate, And difficult is the way which leads to life. Do you know the word life there is Zoe? It says, and there are few who will find it. There's just one part to it, and that is Jesus. He who has the Son has life. If we are without Jesus, you have no life. But now let's go back to 1 John. I purposely wanted to show you that before I continue my 1 John chapter 5 exposition. 1 John chapter 5, I think we should be somewhere verse 12. Are we there? It says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. So it's one thing to have it. It's another thing to be aware of it. There's a knowing that I have life. There's a knowing that I have life. An awareness of that life. That when it kicks in, oh my God, the impact on the different aspects of your life will shock you. I have life. Like God. What the Father has, what the Son has, what the Spirit has, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, I have it. Come on, lift up your right hand and shout, say, I have life that divines deity. So what defines deity is in me. What makes heaven to work is in me. If the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will supply eternal life into your mortal bodies. So that life has the ability to wake up whatever is dead in your system. Your mind, your emotions, anything that's not functioning properly. With the infusion of that life, it comes alive. You know, talking about that life, you know, that life, you know, the natural life, you know, disintegrates, decays with time. Come on, talk to me. It decays and it degenerates. 2 weeks ago, I was in Nigeria to celebrate with my mom because she turned 80, to the glory of God. And, you know, the woman I knew 50-something years ago, maybe not 50-something years ago, because before I was aware that the woman was around, maybe I was 5 years, maybe let's say 47 years ago, when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. It's not the same woman again. Thank God she's still walking, but you could see things have slowed down. And that's what happens to natural life. With time, it slows down. There's decay, there's degeneration. You know, there are things you used to do, you know, so actively that you can't do again. Because age slows it down. But you know, eternal life does not age. You know, I've had some people ignorantly say, oh, I want to celebrate the 30 years of my spirit. Your spirit does not have age. Eternity is there. The same way God does not have age, your spirit does not have age. So there's a consciousness of that life that gives you quality life in this world as it is in heaven. So if we're talking about reproducing heaven's system, then there's a need to be conscious of the life that makes heaven. So eternal life is not what I'm going to get when I get to heaven. As a believer, eternal life is what I already possess. Are you listening to me? You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And have this life what? Abundantly. Somebody shout abundantly. So Jesus did not come to introduce religion. He came to make the life of God available. You know, this life impacts every aspect of your life, your behavior, you know, your intellect, your emotions, your physical body. Let me share a story with you. To the glory of God, next week we make it 25 years that I've been married. You know, so I got married in 1999 March. By November, the Lord led us to the United States, and as a missionary in a new environment, wisdom informs you that you slow down, don't make babies. So for the first 2 years, we're like, okay, no babies, let's just focus on the assignments. So after 2 years, like, okay, let's start making babies. And we tried for a few months, and it was not happening. So to be precise, June 2002, I think May 2002, we went to see a doctor. We were living in California then, to be precise, the Bay Area of California. So went to see the doctor, and they conducted some tests and said, we'll get back to you in a few weeks. So while I was in Nigeria on mission, my wife called me and said, oh, baby, the result is out. The doctor wants to see us when you come back. I said, no problem. So June 2002, I found myself in the doctor's office, and a Chinese doctor, short Chinese doctor like this. And he looked at my wife, he said, we looked at all the samples. Ma'am, you're fine. Then he turned to me. He said, you are the problem. Like, okay. Say, I will recommend adoption. Maybe IVF might work. I'm like, is that bad? Anyway, the man dressed me down as much as he could. Thank God for a godly woman. We left the office, and my wife was encouraging me. Don't worry. They give back to you. We give back to children. I said, okay, thank you for the encouragement. I believe that was a Wednesday. So that Friday in Fremont, California, we're living at 38850 Farwell Drive, Fremont, California. I still remember the address. So when it was like 9 p.m., my wife said, baby, I'm going to bed. Inside of me, I'm like, go to bed. They say you are fine. Go to bed. So I said, I'll see you. So I had a plan. Those days, there were no Bible apps. But I don't know if you remember Parallel Bible. And, of course, Strong Concordance and a bunch of them. So I brought everything out. I laid them on the floor. I began to look and search the scripture from Genesis chapter 1. Everything that looked like fruitfulness, I would underline it and meditate. Then move to the next one, meditate. God is my witness. In the midst of my meditation, I've not even prayed. I'm just spending time fellowshipping with the word of life, the word that carries life. In the midst of my meditation and my contemplation, I felt something. And I knew by the Spirit, whatever was not working has been fixed. No prayer meeting. I just closed the Bible and I went to join her. That was June 2000 and what? 2. Do your maths. Last week, my son turned 21. No prayer. I'm not trying to beat down on prayer. But I'm just letting you, there's something about the awareness of this life. Whatever was not working was fixed. And to prove it was not a fluke, the following year, we tried again. And my daughter came and she's like, okay, let's focus on mission. That was 22 years ago. This life is quality. It can fix any damage. It can repair whatever has broken down. But there must be an awareness of the life. You have it, but you turn it on by revelation. When you come to know by revelation that this is what I carry, things begin to change. When that young man was sharing his testimony, he marked my mind. He said, Pastor, the same person that was kicked out of school, went back to another school, and had first class just because there was an awareness of the life of God. The world is full of life. Do you know what makes the world potent? Is this life. Is the word of life. Now, let's go back to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I want to show you something. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Look at it. You know, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2 says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. We encountered this life. We handled it. We have seen it. It was manifested to us. It was real to us. You know, if there's anything I can't stand religion. People just do things and they don't know why they're doing it. It's because, you know, the people have always done it. I can't stand it. But there's something about living in the consciousness of what you have in Christ Jesus. Because that's where power is. Until the eyes of your understanding become enlightened and you see clearly, this is what I have. Now, I said all that to come to this point. Heaven is possible here. Because you have what makes heaven work. Is the life of God. You are not going to have it. You don't need to pray for it. It's already in you. He that has the Son has this life. You know, as I was thinking about what to share with you in this great conference, I mean, God spelt it all over. It was so clear. He said, just stick with this life. Let them know that this life is already here. They have it. They have it. Can we stand up, please? Now say with me, say, I have the Son. And I have the life of God. I have the quality life of God that cannot decay, that does not degrade, that does not deteriorate. And I declare this life impacts every aspect of my life, my mind, my emotions, my organs, my cells, my tissues, my systems are under the influence of this life. What makes God to be God is already resident in me. Heaven is my reality here on earth, because the life of God is here now. I'm not going to have it. I already have it. I walk in the consciousness of it. My interaction with the scripture is an opportunity to encounter this life. Oh, Basutaya is real. It's real. This life is here. Heaven is here. Miracles are natural. Supernatural is a flow. Oh, supernatural is not something strange to us. Oh, the supernatural life is our heritage. Lift up your hands unto heaven and just begin to worship God all over this house. I have the life of God. I have no limitation. There's no impossibility with me. I can do all things. Hey, glory to God. I'm going to say this before I hand over the microphone. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, we know we have passed from death to life because what? We love the brethren. Do you know the God kind of love is a derivative of this life? The God kind of life is what births the God kind of love. We love because we have the life of God. I said we love because we have the life of God. Everything connected to God comes through this DNA of God. The nature of God is embedded in you. You carry it. There are three things that bear witness in heaven, according to 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the three of them carry this life. And you, because you are an extension of divinity on earth, you carry that life. Let it fill your consciousness. You are not ordinary. You are supernatural. Because you carry the supernatural life of God. Somebody celebrate God this.